Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The Diamond as Big as the Ritz. Chapter 5. After breakfast, John found his way out the great marble entrance and looked curiously at the scene before him. The whole valley, from the Diamond Mountain to the steep granite cliff 5 miles away, still gave off a breath of golden haze which hovered idly above the fine sweep of lawns and lakes and gardens. Here and there, clusters of elms made delicate groves of shade, contrasting strangely with the tough masses of pine forest that held the hills in a grip of dark blue-green. Even as John looked, he saw 3 fawns in single file patter out from 1 clump about 1/2 mile away and disappear with awkward gaiety into the black-ribbed half-light of another. John would not have been surprised to see a goatfoot piping his way among the trees, or to catch a glimpse of pink nymph skin and flying yellow hair between the greenest of the green leaves. In some such cool hope, he descended the marble steps, disturbing faintly the sleep of 2 silky Russian wolfhounds at the bottom, and set off along a walk of white and blue brick that seemed to lead in no particular direction. He was enjoying himself as much as he was able. It is youth's felicity, as well as its insufficiency, that it can never live in the present, but must always be measuring up the day against its own radiantly imagined future. Flowers and gold, girls and stars, they're only prefigurations and prophecies of that incomparable, unattainable young dream. John rounded a corner where the massed rose bushes filled the air with heavy scent, and struck off across a park toward a patch of moss under some trees. He had never lain upon moss, and he wanted to see whether it was really soft enough to justify the use of its name as an adjective. Then he saw a girl coming toward him over the grass. She was the most beautiful person he had ever seen. She was dressed in a white little gown that came just below her knees, and a wreath of mignonettes clasped with blue slices of sapphire bound up her hair. Her pink bare feet scattered the dew before them as she came. She was younger than John, not more than 16.
"Hello," she cried softly. "I'm Kismin."
She was much more than that to John already. He advanced toward her, scarcely moving as he drew near, lest he should tread on her bare toes.
"You haven't met me," said a soft voice.
Her blue eyes added,
"Oh, but you've missed a great deal. You met my sister, Jasmine, last night." "I was sick with lettuce poisoning," went on her soft voice, and her eye continued, "and when I'm sick I'm sweet, and when I'm well."
"You have made an enormous impression on me," said John's eyes, "and I'm not so slow myself."
"How do you do?" said his voice. "I hope you're better this morning."
"You darling," added his eyes tremulously. John observed that they had been walking along the path. On her suggestion, they sat down together upon the moss, the softness of which he failed to determine. He was critical about women. A single defect, a thick ankle, a hoarse voice, a glass eye, was enough to make him utterly indifferent. And here, for the first time in his life, he was beside a girl who seemed to him the incarnation of physical perfection.
"Are you from the East?"
asked Kismin with charming interest.
"Nah," answered John simply. "I'm from Hades."
Either she had never heard of Hades, or she could think of no pleasant comment to make upon it, for she did not discuss it further.
"I'm going east to school this fall," she said. "Do you think I'll like it? I'm going to New York to Miss Bulge's. It's very strict, but you see, over the weekends I'm going to live at home with the family in our New York house, because Father heard that the girls had to go walking 2 by 2.
"Your father wants you to be proud," observed John.
"We are,"
she answered, her eyes shining with dignity.
"None of us has ever been punished. Father said we never should be. Once, when my sister Jasmine was a little girl, she pushed him downstairs, and he just got up and limped away. Mother was, well, a little startled," continued Kismin, "when she heard that you were from where you are from, you know. She said that when she was a young girl, but then, you see, she's a Spaniard and old-fashioned."
"Do you spend much time out here?" asked John, to conceal the fact that he was somewhat hurt by this remark. It seemed an unkind allusion to his provincialism.
Percy and Jasmine and I are here every summer, but next summer Jasmine is going to Newport. She's coming out in London a year from this fall. She'll be presented at court.
Do you know, began John hesitantly, you're much more sophisticated than I thought you were when I first saw you.
Oh, no, I'm not, she exclaimed hurriedly. Oh, I wouldn't think of being. I think that sophisticated young people are terribly common, don't you? I'm not all, really. If you say I am, I'm going to cry.
Well, she was so distressed that her lip was trembling. John was impelled to protest.
I didn't mean that. I only said it to tease you. Because I wouldn't mind if I were, she persisted. But I'm not. I'm very innocent and girlish. I never smoke or drink or read anything except poetry. I know scarcely any mathematics or chemistry. I dress very simply. In fact, I scarcely dress at all. I think sophisticated is the last thing you can say about me. I believe that girls ought to enjoy their youth in a wholesome way.
I do, too, said John heartily. Kismen was cheerful again. She smiled at him, and a stillborn tear dripped from the corner of one blue eye.
I like you, she whispered intimately. Are you going to spend all your time with Percy while you're here? Or will you be nice to me? Just think, I'm absolutely fresh ground. I've never had a boy in love with me in all my life. I've never been allowed even to see boys alone, except Percy. I came all the way out here into this grove, hoping to run into you where the family wouldn't be around.
Deeply flattered, John bowed from the hips as he had been taught at dancing school in Hades.
We'd better go now, said Kismen sweetly. I have to be with Mother at 11. You haven't asked me to kiss you once. I thought boys always did that nowadays.
John drew himself up proudly. Some of them do, he answered, but not me. Girls don't do that sort of thing in Hades. Side by side, they walked back toward the house. The end of chapter 5 of The Diamond as Big as the Ritz, as originally published in Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Read by Rick Kistner for it to go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.